Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Britain, when you run out of data, it hurts. So get on EE Pay-As-You-Go. We're giving away free boosts of data for everyone. Every 3 months, you unlock a new level of data. First, we boost your data by 500 megabytes a month, then by a gig a month, then by a gig and a half, and it keeps going. So the longer you stay, the more data you'll have for Snapchatting. Search EE Free Boosts.
Choose a free boost after you buy pay-as-you-go packs for 3 months. Terms apply. See ee.co.uk/PAYG.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm the girl.
And I'm Tristan Riddell.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 21.
21. This episode, I have to get this off my chest right at the beginning. This episode, I am totally stealing this idea from another podcast.
At least you're giving credit. You're not plagiarizing.
Yes, I'm not plagiarizing because what I did was I went to this individual and said, hey, I heard your podcast, loved it. Can I steal it?
Well, there you go.
And he said yes. So what it was is it was an episode of Words with Nerds. I've talked about the show a lot on the on Nerd Nuptial as well as on the Senate Floor. It's my favorite podcast out there that's not on the Nerd Party. Or maybe I should say one of my favorite podcasts so I don't alienate some of my friends. It's I talked with John Mills, who is co-host of the Star Wars podcast on the Nerd Party, Aggressive Negotiations, and I told him, you know, I love this idea. Please let me steal it. And he said, of course, of course, of course. And he was co-hosting with a guest host called Sean Eastridge. And the idea was, you know how everybody talks about what would be your last meal? You know, if you knew you were going to die, what would you want to eat? What would be your last meal?
Buttered noodles and pizza.
Buttered noodles and pizza at the same time?
And Coca-Cola, yeah.
Oh, I guess we could talk about this. Now, I knew the Coca-Cola thing.
Okay.
Because you are a Coca-Cola fiend.
Yeah. I have a problem.
So would you enjoy buttered noodles and pizza one at a time?
Yeah.
Or would you, like, but you needed to have them all in one night?
Yes. If that was my last meal.
You know, it's, for me, it would probably be, it would have to be a Barks root beer to drink. And, you know, pizza's pretty awesome, but your mom's lasagna
really
is really
wow.
Awesome. If I could have...
That's a really high bar, then.
If I could have my mom's spoon cornbread mixed with your mom's lasagna and a Barks root beer, I could probably die happy.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think so.
Okay.
I think I could do that.
But that's not our topic.
That's not the topic. No. The topic is movies. Is like, if you knew you were gonna die, what would be the last movie you wanted to watch? And I was fascinated by this concept because it's not a desert island thing. It's not like, oh, if you were stranded on an island, what three movies would you take with you or something like that. That's not what we're talking about. It's you knew you were gonna die. I think the scenario John came up with was if you're on a plane and
it's kind of morbid
for some reason you knew it was going down, but yet you inexplicably had 2 hours to kill. I don't know. Something like that.
Again, a little morbid. Okay.
A little more, little weird, little far-fetched. But you're just like, oh, I can pick from this infinite library. What would you watch? And the thing that was fascinating wasn't so much the movies that they came up with at the end, but just their thought process of how they got there and what movies they thought about and which movies they denied along the way. And so that's where I was pretty focused on. I think the journey is going to be the most fun part. But before we get into that, we have a new 5-star review.
Yeah, we do. It's awesome.
Yes, guys, thank you so much. We get to say this every week. We get to say every single week, thank you so much for writing us a 5-star review. It really means a lot to us. And we want to thank Lee Hutchison, who sent us this review, because this was out of the U.S. This was in the U.K. And for those of you who are outside of the U.S., please send us an email at contact@thenerdparty, or you can find me on Twitter at TheInsaneRobin. And from there, you can let us know that, hey, I'm outside the U.S., but I just wrote you a review. You can screenshot it and send it to me. And this individual, House of 13, it's actually House of XIII, right? Three eyes there, yeah, something like that, in Roman numerals. And he's a big supporter of the show. follows me on Twitter. We follow each other on Instagram, and he loves to promote the show, retweet the show, and just talks about. He's given us a lot of compliments.
That's awesome.
And he said a lot of great things in the 5-star review, and we want to thank you, House of 13.
Awesome, thank you.
Now, I don't know where to begin on this. You know, like where do you begin on you're going to die movie?
Well, I think it's a hard question. It's a very loaded question because, first of all, you have to think about if I was going to die, what would be my last movie? Because that's a very loaded question. So that's not a fun place to go to, which I kind of took it from the angle of like, what are my favorite movies and what would be the one that I would want to make sure I saw? I don't know. Maybe I am saying before I die, but I was trying not to be as morbid.
Well,
I kept trying to change our topic, and you kept being like, no, it's this.
You did. I kept
saying Desert Island, so thanks for bringing that up.
I did, yeah. I wanted to say right off the bat, no, we're not doing that. Because knowing you, you'd probably change the topic right as we went through.
Sure.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Maybe.
So, yeah, with me, the thing that kept coming back, that I kept coming back to was the ending of a movie.
Mm.
You know, what's a movie, like, because you know that when the movie's over, you're like, oh, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Life is over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to meet Jesus soon. You know, so you don't want a movie that has a really sad ending. You don't want a movie that has a gut punch. Like, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
That's a gut punch.
That's a gut punch. Both you and I love that movie. We're obsessed with that movie.
Yes.
We have posters of that movie in our house. We have it. I have it at my desk at work. I would love to watch this movie.
We enjoy it together.
Yeah. And
okay. So when I was thinking about this, I was also thinking about movies that we liked together. But is this like you're dying separately and I'm dying separately? Or are we dying like together?
Like the...
This is really getting morbid.
Like we could be like the old couple in Titanic who are on the mattress
and
the water's rising.
Yeah, okay. Again, morbid.
No, I think
sweet but morbid.
Even though this is a podcast about the bliss of nerd marriage, I feel like we should do it separately.
That's fine.
Maybe we could.
I chose separately.
Oh.
I didn't think about you.
Oh.
Well, actually, I did. I thought about different movies. Like I thought about Dragon Tattoo, but for the same reason that you didn't choose it.
You didn't give me. You didn't let me get to the reason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's because
Go ahead.
The ending.
Okay, you know, like the gut punch.
It's a sad ending. I guess that is the reason.
I should lay off that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's nice to know you didn't think about me.
Yeah, no problem.
But yeah, so individually, well, we're on different flights. You know,
okay.
Maybe it's the rapture happening. Okay. All right. So or something like that.
Can we stop talking about that?
This is upsetting you for some reason. It's all make believe, girl. It's all make believe. So, yeah, ending. Ending was a big thing. And so I started going through, what would be good. Like, John was talking about how he would love an ending to a movie where, like, it doesn't have a long denouement where you're just like, oh, the climax is over. This is the falling action. This is the epilogue. Then you start thinking about, you're like, oh, crap, my time is up. He wanted something that was action up until the last second.
Okay.
I thought that was an interesting approach.
That is an interesting approach.
The first movie that came to my mind when this question was asked was The Dark Knight.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's enjoyable and you would just enjoy every moment of it kind of a deal?
I think that's the thing. It's just like looking at it from pure enjoyment.
Okay.
It was The Dark Knight's an easy pick.
Okay.
Because it is a near perfect comic book film. If not the best comic book film ever made. And
he will fight you if you argue that.
I will fight you and I will win. but I think it's fantastic. I think the character development, the action is great. Heath Ledger is the Joker. We've talked about it on the show. Chris Nolan at the peak of his talents. And yeah, there were some things wrong with it. That's why I said near perfect. But it's so amazing and it ends on a great note.
Mm-hmm.
But it ends on an unresolved note.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I think that's the reason why I didn't go with The Dark Knight is because even though it has that awesome moment of, a silent protector, a dark knight, and then lens flare, and then title Dark Knight, that it gives me chills just talking about it. but it's still an unresolved note. There's still more journey to the Batman.
And you would still, you would definitely say that is one of your favorite movies. So mm-hmm. it kind of fulfills that requirement if you went with that, but you did not.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that mm-hmm. you know, like a movie that you want to watch right before you die might not be your favorite movie. It might not be one that's in your top 10.
Yeah, it's actually mine is not.
Yours is not?
No, but okay. I know which one I would want to. Yeah. So for actually similar reasons, one of my favorite movies, probably my favorite movie is The Royal Tenenbaums. Mm-hmm. And I seriously thought about like if I, you know, had to die, like I probably would want to watch that movie. That's mm-hmm. a pretty awesome movie and it's fun. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's definitely some emotional parts of it and so much character development, but it just, I don't know, you feel happy at the end, even though Royal dies. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I thought about that one, but then I was like, no.
Well, you haven't really given us a reason why you didn't choose it. Why not? Like if you're happy, even though somebody dies.
I know. I think the reason why I chose the movie that I did is because, okay, well, let me rephrase that. Royal Tenenbaums doesn't have the epic, I'm going to go into the light factor that I have chosen for my actual movie.
Okay.
And wow. By the way, we have not shared this.
That's true.
I even tried to get it out of you this week because you came up with this topic early in the week and mm-hmm. I kept trying to dog you to change it.
Correction, I stole this topic
earlier this week. That's right. That's right. Sorry. Sorry, John. Okay. yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I did not choose that movie.
Okay,
so it was not epic enough.
You want something that has an epic finale.
I want to have tears rolling down my cheeks.
Okay.
And I am going into the light of Jesus.
So you want something where you're so emotionally distraught that you feel like, yes, I can go onto my chariot
yes.
up into the heavens.
Yes.
That's cool. That's a good reasoning.
Yes.
I think that's very
and,
good reasoning.
Yeah, when you hear what I've chosen, you'll understand.
Okay. I have zero clue. maybe I could guess, but I will save my guess
okay.
until the end because I don't want to get it right just
okay.
in case and ruin
okay.
it. but yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. So something else, you know, I kept going through. I was just like, you know, like what do I do? Do I choose something from my childhood? You know,
I thought about that too.
Where I could find something that has agreeable symmetry where, you know, like I'm about to die. And so I find something that I liked as an early
sure.
young man, you know, or do I pick something that I think is just purely beautiful? You know, do I pick the a movie that, you know, really like speaks to me? Because like one thing that I was really thinking about was The Fountain.
I thought that was actually the one I was going to bring up next.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't choose it, but I thought about it.
I thought like this was a big contender.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this on the show before. And we've actually had a few people write us and tell us that because of our recommendation and because we talk about the movie all the time, they watched it and loved it.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's really cool.
We love it when you guys write us and let us know if you took us up on some recommendations. Actually, House of 13.
Yeah.
He sent us a picture of a stack of movies
that was awesome.
That we recommended and said, he's like, this is my night. And it was so cool to see that. But yeah, The Fountain, it is one of the most emotional movies I've ever seen.
If we were dying together, that would have been my choice.
I think that's a good choice. Actually, yeah, that's what we're going to go with.
Okay.
There. Yeah.
We're holding hands.
We're holding
for some
hands
reason.
Right
I don't
now
know
across
why.
The table. It's not very good podcasting.
No, it's not.
But yeah, no, like absolutely. If we were going to die together on flight 815.
I'm lost. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, a lost restaurant.
Yes,
that's
you
right.
did. Oh, I love you.
I think it would be The Fountain because it's about it's a story about a man who loves his wife, a couple who loves each other so much that they transcend life and death and heaven and reality just to save each other. And it's beautiful. And he dies at the end and he accepts death.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Right.
The important thing is not that he dies. It's that he accepts
death.
And I mean, I think that's a beautiful message
it
to end
is.
On if you know that you're going to be leaving this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
What's another one you were thinking about?
You might laugh at me, but I really love Forrest Gump. Did you not see that coming?
I honestly did not see that coming. I know you, but I know you love that movie.
I love that movie.
You do. You genuinely love that
it
movie.
It has all the feels. I mean, such great character development. I would have a few more hours to live because that's a very long movie.
That is a very long movie. I thought about that too. I thought about, I was like,
length of
movie. Yeah, I was like, do I watch like the Dune miniseries because that's 4.5 hours long just to get a couple more hours of life in there, you know? You know, and that was the series contender too, was the Dune miniseries. Gosh. But back to Forrest Gump.
So I love the characters. I love the happiness, but also the turmoil that is involved, and you know, the humor of these, you know, very important historical events taking place in his life. And it's just, it makes me feel good. But I mean, it also kind of has that sad moment at the end, but it's still, I don't know. I love that movie.
You know, we watched it not too long ago and we'll watch it again, of course,
sure.
You know, not too long ago. And it's a movie, it's weird, and I'm going to try to put it down, but it's a movie you easily forget how much you love.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, like, because like,
when you revisit it.
Yeah, when you revisit it, and when you watch it again, you're just kind of like, wow, this is such a good movie. And you start to cry, you start to get emotional, and when it's over, when the credits roll, you're just like, what an experience. You know, like,
yeah.
What a great journey of cinema.
Talk about a journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but the thing is, like, a couple weeks later, if you said, like, hey, what's one of your favorite movies, you know, you would never bring up Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I know. I know. I guess that's why I would have maybe chosen that one. It was because of the journey.
Mm-hmm. A life lived.
Like,
yeah.
That's why I would have possibly, but I didn't.
I think that's a fine choice. Like, even if you did choose that one, I think that's a fine choice.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks is a national treasure.
He is.
I do believe. I think one day his birthday is going to be a national holiday.
On the calendar?
It's going to be on the calendar. It's going to be like George Washington's birthday, Tom Hanks' birthday.
That's right.
That's what it's going to be. There you go. Speaking of Tom Hanks, one thing that I really thought about, like, actually, when we were looking at our movie collection just a couple of minutes ago, I was just like, hey, that would be a good choice, and that's Toy Story 3.
Okay, I thought about that one, too. Our brains are the same. I'm wondering if our first choice is the same. It's kind of scaring me. It's scaring
me. Oh, my gosh.
It's
if our choice is the same...
It's scaring me a little bit.
I'm going to... I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose my mind. Like, we're going to go out and, like, get some ice cream just to celebrate or something.
All right. My fingers are crossed, then.
I really want that ice cream. So, yeah, Toy Story 3. Not my favorite of the Toy Stories.
It might be my favorite. I don't know. I see them kind of as a whole.
Yeah.
But that is a wonderful movie.
I can't choose between
the
first one and the third
one. It's got
one.
That closure at the end, like that sad but wonderful, like, life moves on.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
That's the main reason why I wanted it is for the ending, is because it's closing a chapter, but beginning a new one.
Right. That's a good idea.
And that's what I really liked about it. And also, you know, it's a kids movie, and so it's gonna be lighthearted. You're gonna laugh,
right?
But you're also gonna be wowed by the furnace scene.
Yeah, that furnace scene.
Have we talked about this? Have we talked about this on this show?
I know you have on the Senate floor. I don't know that moment.
Okay, forgive me, folks, if you've heard the story, but we saw this movie together. In the theater. Well, we also saw it with your parents.
Yeah.
We all went as a family, and during the furnace scene, and we all know the scene that I'm talking about, I just started laughing. Like, I was
crying.
Yeah, you were crying. Your mother was in awe. Like, she was in complete shock. And I was laughing like a hyena during the entire thing. And I'm sure That's I pissed true. Off some people. But the thing is, like, I wasn't laughing because I was mocking it. I was laughing because I was completely blown away at how I was feeling in that moment, because I wanted to bawl like a baby.
Yeah.
And I had such emotional resonance to these characters.
I get it.
That I was laughing that a Pixar film could make me feel this way.
It's true. You're like, you had to remind yourself what you were looking at.
Yeah.
Because you got so nervous that these toys were going to perish.
Like, I found, I was scrolling through Tumblr. And I saw a gift set of a Big Bang Theory scene, and it was the male protagonist was trying to prove his manliness to the female protagonist, and she's like, "You cried during Toy Story 3," and he said, "The toys were holding hands in a furnace."
That's right. It's so true.
And yeah, your mom brings that up a lot, where I think it's probably her favorite movie, because she's like, "Why that didn't win Best Picture, I will never know." That is what she said.
That's awesome.
But yeah, true. So I think that's a good choice.
Yeah,
if I
absolutely.
Do say so myself. What's something else on your end?
I'm trying to think of what was else on my end. I did have that thought of, you know, bringing something from my childhood, like one of my favorite musicals or something like that, kind of full circle. But then I couldn't choose which musical.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Like, what would you, like do like Sound of Music or something? Or
no, or King and I? Or no,
you gotta end, like, you can't end it with like our usual musicals, like with Sweeney Todd or Rocky Horror.
No, I wouldn't. It wouldn't feel right.
Definitely don't want to do Oklahoma.
No,
because you value your time.
Yeah, but it, I don't know. Maybe My Fair Lady, because I love that movie. But
yep, the ending, but it's not
the, it's the ending is terrible in, yeah, in the, yeah.
Where the hell am I slipping?
Well, in the stage version, there, it's about women empowerment and she doesn't come back.
What's the name of the stage version?
Pygmalion.
Pygmalion?
Mm-hmm.
I always want to call it Papillon. I was like, that's not right.
Papillon?
Yeah.
Isn't that a type of dog?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know. It's something French. So yeah, Pygmalion. I've never seen Pygmalion.
Yeah, it's awesome.
No, I've seen, not, that's a non-musical version?
Correct.
Okay, so we've seen the musical version on stage.
Yes.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always get the, this is way too inside baseball for musicals, but like the Dancing Paper on Parade from Phantom.
Oh, yeah.
I always get that. I always think that's from My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady.
Like during that scene where they're at the party. And they have this really choreographed dance number of My Fair Lady where they're at the party and everybody's in white and black.
It oh, at the, me... at the races? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's, it yeah. makes me think of the of, oh, okay. of the Phantom scene.
All right.
So anyway, there's a little musical tidbit for you musical fans out there. So, yeah. Okay. One thing that you mentioned, and let's do a little, let's take it to a side. You know, let's pause the,
sure.
The topic just for a second, because you asked me while we were talking about this topic, you're like, is it, can we just do movies or can we do TV? What were you thinking in that moment when you were asking if we could talk about TV?
I was trying to think of what television show I would watch before, I don't know, like what would be my last television show that I would enjoy watching.
Now, would you watch like just an episode of your favorite TV show or would you watch an entire season or an entire series?
I don't know. That would be really hard.
Because now we're entering into like terminal hiccup disease where like you know you have like a month left to live or something,
right,
like that.
I know, and I think that's why we decided to go against it. Yeah. but
what came to mind, like what popped in your head?
What television show came in my head? I think if I just was like looking for something that was just fun and like just to laugh, I was thinking of The Office.
Of course you were.
Because I would just be like, yay, everything's happy. Everything's fun.
It does end well.
Yeah, it does.
The show does end on a very happy note.
It does.
Now, if we were, you how many times have you rewatched The Office?
Oh, too many. Every summer when I'm home from school.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher.
You can't, you can't count it. I honestly believe you can't count it because you've watched it in order so many times and you've watched it just random episodes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It makes me, it's just a fun show. Like, I just have a lot of enjoyment when I watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The American version. I know I get a little hate for that, but that's okay.
Lee's not happy about that.
I know.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good choice. I mean, you've definitely shown me the love of The Office.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, maybe it's because we just finished watching this, but Mad Men.
Oh, yeah?
Every time we, like, you want to rewatch it all the time. Uh-huh. I think you want to rewatch it way too much. But you always break me down, and I'm like, fine, okay, we'll start it. And then, like, by the fifth episode, I turn to you, and I'm like, I'm glad we're doing this.
I know.
I get so into that
usually
show.
If I want that to happen, I just end up just starting it, and then you end up...
I jump in.
Yeah, right? Just watching it with me.
That's what we're doing with Gilmore Girls again.
It's true.
You started it again, and I was just like, okay, that's something you can watch when I'm at work and everything like that. And then now we're watching
it
together.
And now you always take away my shows, so then it's like becomes Netflix infidelity, because I'll start a show, and I'm like, he doesn't want to watch that with me again. Again is usually the... Yeah. And then you'll come in, and you'll start watching it and be invested, and then I have nothing to watch during the day when you're at work.
You can totally keep going with Gilmore Girls.
Oh, thank you.
Because I was actually just thinking the other day, that's one of those shows where...
There's a lot of seasons, too.
There's seven seasons, but you can also jump in and you know exactly what's going
on. That's true. Like, that's true. It's especially since you've watched it so many times, too. Yeah.
And you haven't. I have.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
So Mad Men is kind of top of my list because with Star Trek, I don't know if I could pick.
Mm.
I think that's the main reason why I would probably stay away from Star Trek is because do I pick TNG? Do I pick DS9? Do I pick... Voyager,
you
know, like it'd probably be one of those three.
Sure,
definitely wouldn't be TOS, probably wouldn't be Enterprise, but it would definitely be one of those three from the Prime.
So it's almost like just leave them aside so that you don't... Yeah, I get that.
I've also seen them so many times, I could like... I could close my eyes and just watch the episodes. Speaking of which, going back to movies, Star Wars.
That actually, again, that was one that I was thinking about. But my favorite is Empire, and I didn't want to choose that because I kind of felt like it was a little too cliffhanger to end on. And a little bit too down to end on.
Well, it does end on hope.
It does.
But
it's still...
The journey there is very dark.
It is. So I was like, do I really want to end with that? If I could watch all three, then I'd be fine.
It might surprise you that John Mills' pick was Return of the Jedi.
Was it?
That was his pick of the last movie he would want to watch.
I kind of get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're ending with a party with Ewoks. How can you lose?
That's amazing. I mean... Like, if you could ever ask me what my dream party would be, it would be defeating the Empire and partying all night with the Ewoks.
That's right. There you go.
That's my dream party. I have a birthday coming up, so if you could make that happen.
Okay, I'll work on that.
That'd be fantastic. yeah, with me, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could pick because, you know, Star Wars is, the first Star Wars, A New Hope, is very much a complete story.
Yes, it is.
Like, disregarding, you know, Vader... flying off and realizing that he's not dead. That is a very self-contained story.
And it has a happy, like, yay, at the end, we got our awards.
Absolutely.
Except
absolutely.
For Chewie. What the heck?
Complete crap. BS, Lucas. If you're going to change the DVDs and the Blu-rays constantly, at least give Chewie a medal.
Right?
My God. If you can give Ewoks eyelids, you can give Chewie his god dang medal.
That's right.
But, like, if there was never Empire, if there was never Return of the Jedi, Star Wars would still be a great self-contained story.
Absolutely.
But I didn't, you know, like, I can't choose Empire for the same reason that you chose, like, didn't choose it.
Right.
And with Return of the Jedi, even though, like, that is, if depending on what day you ask me, that is my favorite Star Wars film. It's kind of, I go back and forth between Empire and Return of the Jedi. I don't know, I feel like Force Awakens kind of ruined that for me.
Oh, explain.
Well, it didn't ruin the movie for me because I like Force Awakens.
Sure.
Obviously not as much as the originals, but I you know, like when John brought it up that he chose Return of the Jedi, I was just like, oh, great choice, solid choice, great choice, great ending. You know, Han and Leia are together, Luke make amends with his father. Mm-hmm. You know, like Vader goes over to you know, to the light side. And, you know, like, at the end we got Yoda and Anakin and Obi-Wan and the Empire is defeated. You know, it's like all really cool, all really great. And then in The Force Awakens, we find out that Han and Leia are not together. Their son went over to the dark side. Luke is so ashamed that he went into hiding.
Yeah.
And the galaxy is in turmoil again, and the New Republic is already wiped out. And so you're just like, oh... So that victory in Return of the Jedi is very short-lived. We're talking like 20 years of peace.
Right.
And not even because the Empire, just because they defeated the second Death Star doesn't mean the Empire was defeated right away.
Right. There was more battles to be won.
So we're looking at, like, what, 10, 5 years of peace?
Yeah. And then, enough.
Yeah. And so that's kind of where I'm just like, I'm talking a lot, but like even though I could go back to my childhood and relive the final moments of Return of the Jedi the way that they were originally seen, it's still
in the back of your
head. It's in the back of my mind now. So if you asked me a couple years ago, maybe Return of the Jedi would have been my answer.
I get that. I completely get that. I'm very interested to know what your answer is now.
I don't think you're going to know.
I don't think you're going to know.
I am so entertained by this because I really want to find out. I cannot wait till we get to the end of this episode. Just like we're going to get to the end of the movie. Did you have any more like that you were thinking about?
What was I thinking about?
You're talking about childhood and musicals.
Yeah, and like I was just trying to think of something. But, you know, I feel like you grow with time, too. It's also one of those situations where at certain times in your life, different movies mean something to you. Mm-hmm. So I think that I wouldn't probably choose one from my childhood just because it doesn't mean as much to me now. Like, right. There's still nostalgia from that, but I wouldn't want that to be my last movie.
Well, it's like so many movies that we love as children, we talk about for years our friends and our family saying, oh, man, that movie was awesome. Do you remember that movie? Oh, that was so great. And then, you know, like we talk about it online and saying like, oh, this is one of the greatest movies ever. And then you go back and watch it. You're like, oh, how did I like this as a child?
That wasn't as good as I thought.
Yeah. I think one movie that's coming to mind is Hook.
Oh, is it because you watched it with me?
You were very much a downer.
I was very critical of it. Yeah. Yeah.
You very much like, sorry. You're like, Tristan, really? You like this as a child?
Sorry.
It was just so funny because what happened was, is that, you know, it's a very, like, it's a movie that my sister and I reference all the time. And we love talking about, and, you know, like, we still quote to this day. And we watched it over and over and over again when we were kids. And then just recently, like actually before we watched it together, because you'd never seen it, I saw an article where it said, you are remembering your childhood movies incorrectly. Like, that was the article.
Really?
And then their main example was Hook.
No way.
And I was angry. I was just like, this guy is full of crap. No, this movie's amazing. You don't even know. You're cynical. You know, you're going to, you know, yeah. And then I went back and watched it and I was like, oh, crap, he was right. This movie's not good. It's uneven.
It was a little cheesy, too.
It's super cheesy. Yeah. I mean, it's perfect for kids.
It was for kids. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. See, the one that comes to my head for childhood was The Princess Bride. Because that's such a, like, a feel-good movie. Oh,
that would be
movie.
A great movie to
right?
watch.
Yeah. It's such a feel-good.
I thoroughly believe that Princess Bride is our generation's Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
That is how I, refer to it as.
Yeah, like this group of like the 80s.
Yeah, like 80s, millennials,
90s babies.
Millennials and Generation yeah. Xers and everything like that. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we grew up on this wonderful story, this fantastical story.
Oh, yeah.
And
such a great fairy tale.
I just feel like it is so permeated in our culture and even in our lexicon. You know, yeah. Like nobody can say inconceivable
right.
without, you know, giggling a little.
That's true.
So I think that's a great choice.
Yeah.
I think, like, if you told me that was your choice, I'd be
You'd
like...
You'd be like, that's a great choice.
Yeah, I'd say thumbs up.
Yeah. Mine's more epic than that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm building it up really high.
Yeah. You are building it up. Like, you're going to blow me away with the epicness. And what's really going to be funny is, like, if it was, like, 300. I'd be like, whoa, I did not see that coming.
It is not.
It is not 300?
No.
Okay, no. You didn't want to end with a Snyder movie?
No, not my favorite.
Speaking of which, the day, like, the Batman v Superman comes out the day after that this episode drops on Blu-ray. And, you know, like, I had this existential crisis on air where I was like, you know, like, because I kind of am trying to refrain from buying optical media unless it's a Nolan film, Fincher film, or Star Wars or Star Trek.
And the reason for that is because we're literally running out of space.
We are running out of physical space.
Physical space is just not here anymore.
Yeah, we've stopped buying books. Yeah. We've stopped buying movies. And
no room.
And so I had an existential crisis because I was like, is this going to be the first Batman film that's out that I don't buy a physical copy of? But then at the same time, I'm like, well, I want to see the extended version. But I also, if I don't like it, I want to be able to go back to the theatrical version. And I have no idea which digital version comes with the Blu-ray. And
what a crisis.
I know. The thing is, I asked the question on Twitter, and I don't know what I expected. I expected people to go like, oh, you know, I found this source, and, you know, like, it comes with this version. Everybody was just like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to spend your money on Batman v Superman?
It's so funny.
It's like, shut up, guys. I liked it.
Well, we both want to see it again because we had very
really?
Strong
Do
opinion.
We? Do we both want to see it again?
I do. Because I will let you know if I still stand firm with my opinion that it was not a good movie, which I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you will.
But I'm convinced I will convince you that it is not a good movie.
Maybe I shouldn't spend this money then.
The choice is yours.
Because here's the thing is that, you know, like when they were advertising this new edition, like they spent, you know, millions of dollars on ad campaign for this special edition, this extended edition, where they're like 30 extra movie, you know, minutes. It's, you know, it changes the movie. You're going to love it. Make sure to watch it. You think you saw Batman v Superman, but you haven't yet. And so, you know, that's their ad campaign because so many people hated it. They're like, oh, give it another chance and buy our movie again.
That's kind of sad if you think about it.
It is
like,
really
that's
sad.
That's their campaign.
But then the cinematographer of the movie went on Twitter and totally cut the advertiser's legs off by saying, listen, if you love the movie, you're going to love the extended edition. If you hate the movie, you're going to hate the extended edition.
No way.
The cinematographer.
That's hilarious.
The person completely in control of what we see on screen was like, meh, meh. Essentially, was the Twitter equivalent of that.
Oh my gosh.
So it'll be interesting. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy it. I'm a sucker. I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy it. So I think I'm going to break down and just do the digital copy, because you can actually buy just the digital copy. You can buy the extended edition and the theatrical version together.
Oh.
Digital-wise for, I think, $5 cheaper. So I might as well.
Oh, yeah, just do that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
Glad we figured that out for you.
Shut up. I know people are screaming at their sets. Or sets?
Their sets? Like a video cassette?
What is this, 1952? People are screaming all over the world at their TV sets because man walked on the moon. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
I guess that was the 60s. I don't know whose voice that was.
I don't know either.
It was not Walter Cronkite.
No, it was not. Because you're just old-timey radio announcer.
That is my old-timy radio
announcer. Yeah, that's your go-to.
If I could do an entire podcast in old-timey radio voice...
No one would listen.
That's true. That's true. All right. You know what? I'm going to go... Like, we're jumping around, and I don't care, listeners. I'm sure you're enjoying it. But, okay, I want to go back to TV. So, we just got done watching Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Now, it was your first time watching it.
Yes.
My second time. Because I only watched it once before, but I watched it live. Or at least in syndication. I shouldn't say live. Because I was too young to watch it live. I watched it on syndication when it was on TV. And I love David Lynch because he's freaky and weird.
Yeah.
And I love freaky and weird.
Yeah.
This one...
I've had some weird dreams. While watching.
Yes, you have.
Twin Peaks.
Lynch gets in your brain. He gets
he
in your
does.
Head. He burrows in and he never leaves.
It's true.
God forbid if I ever show you Blue Velvet. but that is definitely not a show that I would want to watch right before I die.
No.
I'd be scared I'd get caught in limbo after I watched that.
Or in that room with the red curtains.
That's right. Yeah, the Black Lodge.
Yeah, exactly.
So Breaking Bad, I think, would be too intense.
Yeah, and also I feel like the arc, the denouement takes a while. Like, mm-hmm. It definitely loses some momentum at the end. Like, I still absolutely adore that show, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it wouldn't be, I don't know, it's not the feeling that you want to end on.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's the climax is really in, like, the third to last episode.
Yeah, it is. It's more of, like, around the Gus Fring.
No.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're a season behind.
You're right.
No, the climax is really around Hank's death.
Yeah.
That's when I say the climax happens.
You're right.
Because and that's the beauty of.
I just want it to end with the Gus Fring story.
Right? Is Vince Gilligan. I mean, Vince Gilligan is smart enough to know that your climax should not be in your last episode.
Right.
And.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Interesting.
But with Mad Men, I think I just love how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much. It is one of the most satisfying series finales I've ever witnessed. But then again, Gilmore Girls is too.
It is. That is an awesome ending.
That is a very satisfying, like, lick your lips, that's what's tasty kind of ending.
Yeah.
Because everyone and everything is where you want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. One show that I love, but I would never end with, is Lost, because it was all over the place at the end. But I
loved
it so
much. Same reason
why
I wouldn't want to go with X-Files.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, those ending seasons were not good.
Yeah, especially, like, yeah, in season 8, season 9, and especially season 10.
Yes, we don't talk about it.
We're not going to talk about that. okay, so back to movies. One thing that I was really, I seriously considered, and this almost made it.
Okay.
Was, you know, you hear the music at the beginning of every single episode of Nerd Nuptial, and that's Serenity. Serenity, in my mind, okay,
yes.
I'm not saying this in the public's mind, but in my personal Tristan Riddell mind, Serenity is the Citizen Kane of sci-fi action adventure.
Okay.
This movie speaks to me.
I know. I have it in, like, every version imaginable.
I have every edition.
Which is why you can't buy Batman v Superman, because it's taken up all the space.
Yeah, Serenity has taken up all
right.
My shelf space.
That's right.
But yeah, this I think the music is beautiful, the cinematography is beautiful, the editing is on point, the direction, there's not a better Joss Whedon film. I'm sorry, Avenger fans, but Serenity is his best film. It was his first major motion picture. And I love this movie so much. It speaks to me on a spiritual level. And then it ends on such a fun note and such a touching note where it's just like, yeah, we've seen death. Yeah, we didn't save everybody, but we accomplished our goal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always new work and new life on the horizon. You know,
yeah.
Like, you can't take the sky from me. And that was the mission statement of the show, and that's how we ended. And it's, even though we ended on this nice, beautiful note of them going through the storm clouds and into space, we still end on a joke with a piece of the ship flying off and hitting the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would end with a smile, and then, like, you'd hear the music of the credits. You're like, oh, man, and then you die. So I think I'd end happy. And that was a very serious contender, very serious contender. Side note.
Oh, yeah, my mom. She just decided one night to watch Serenity, but had no idea that Firefly existed. And so...
No, she did have an idea that Firefly existed. Because for the past 10 years...
That's right.
I've been telling her she needs to watch Firefly.
Yeah, it's like your job. It's like you're a missionary for Firefly.
I am kind of a missionary for Firefly. I like, for the past decade, I've told your mother to watch Firefly, and then she has the gall to watch Serenity and go, wow, they're assuming we should know a lot. They have a lot of exposition at the beginning. I feel like there should be maybe a series of stories before this.
No, she was just like pleasantly surprised and excited that there was more. And mm-hmm.
She went through it really fast.
Loved it.
And she doesn't watch a lot of TV.
No, she does not.
And
so that just shows you.
She really liked it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that she listened to me 10 years later.
Well, at least she listened to you.
And so everybody else should listen to me too. Watch Firefly and then watch Serenity. Because
yes.
It is one of the most beautiful shows ever made. And Fox is... I'll never forget Fox.
Well, no nerd will.
No nerd will. Nor nerd should. Like, whenever Fox comes out with a new show, we're like, hey, good job, Fox, but you still canceled Firefly. Well, it's coming to that time.
I think so.
Do you want me to go first? I've been talking a lot. I think you should go first.
Okay. All right.
And I'll be honest with you, because I will not change my mind. Like, I will not.
Okay.
Like, I won't, like, fake and go, like, oh, my God, I totally picked that, too. No, I'm not
going
to do
that.
Won't.
I know you won't.
I promise.
Okay. All right. So, I chose this movie because I have loved this movie for a very long time. Way before you. In high school, I loved this movie. You're giving me some eyes over there.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure it out. Okay. So, it's beautiful. It's emotional. It has to do with life and death. And it ends with fireworks at the end.
Oh.
Yeah. Micho Black.
Oh, that's such a... No, that's not my choice.
It's not?
No,
okay.
No. That's
Isn't
amazing.
Isn't that a good choice?
That's such a great choice.
It's all about the discovery... Okay, well, how about you summarize it? Because I'm not as good at summarizing as you are.
Well, it's a remake of Death Takes a Holiday.
Yes.
And it is a very... It is a much maligned movie.
Is it really?
Yeah. Not a lot of people like it. They think it's...
I never understand that.
They think it's too long. They think it's too boring. They thought it was too melodramatic or anything like that. And I just...
Oh, no. I want to go out melodramatic.
Yeah. I fell in love with this movie the first time I saw it. I was like, wow, this is genius.
It's beautiful.
I watched it over and over and
Me
over
too.
Again when I was a kid.
I think as a teenager, I would have said that was my favorite movie.
Mine too.
Yeah.
This was directed by Martin Brest, I believe. And he was... fantastic. He did such a great job, and Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt together in a film.
Yeah,
come on.
You
Jeffrey
can't...
Tambor
yeah.
before he was really well known,
right?
And Claire Fulani, is that her name? Claire Fulani.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great job.
Yeah,
she, yeah.
So I mean, okay. So
oh, well, Summer. I'm sorry.
So
yeah,
Brad.
You asked me to summarize it. Yeah. So what
is it? Your pick.
Yeah. So what happened is that you know, Anthony Hopkins is a high powered businessman, owns
mm-hmm.
a communication company, and he is reaching the kind of the end of his life where he does not have a good ticker, and he has a daughter, you know, played by Claire Forlani. She meets a guy in a coffee shop who's really charismatic, you know, really just really interesting and suave, and she strikes up a great conversation. They have this immediate connection, but then she walks away, he walks right into traffic
mm-hmm.
and gets hit by a car and dies
mm-hmm.
and then she sees him again as a different person. And we are to believe that death has taken Brad Pitt's body and in order to experience the world. And he sets up a bargain with Anthony Hopkins where Anthony Hopkins has a heart attack, but then death stops the heart attack and says, okay, I will give you time if you give me a view into your world. And so he death follows Anthony Hopkins around and experiences the world through human eyes instead of just observing it.
Right. And it kind of changes Anthony Hopkins' perspective too. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like definitely a transformation for everyone involved. I love all the first timeness of him discovering the world.
For some, he had peanut butter.
Yeah.
For some, he had dinner.
Right.
For some, he had sex.
Right. There's just a lot of really cool, and the character development is amazing. And it's just very, I wouldn't say surreal, but it's in this kind of zone where it's a very unusual story. Mm-hmm. And at the end, there's this moment where they're watching the fireworks go off, and
he tells Claire Forlani that he's death in a way that only she would understand.
Yes. Because there's that moment of recognition on her face.
Yeah, and he says, he's like, I promise you that you will have what you found in the coffee shop. And then so he goes off into the woods with Anthony Hopkins, but Anthony Hopkins does not come back.
Right.
But Brad Pitt comes back, and he is again that guy who was in the coffee shop. And then they walk off together with fireworks.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. One time we missed the fireworks.
It's right.
One July 4th, we were with some friends. We were driving around, and we missed them.
I don't know how it happened.
I can't remember how we missed them, but we saw them from the highway, and we couldn't really experience them. And we're like, crap, well... And all of us were like, let's go home and put in the last scene.
That's right.
Meet Joe Black on the big screen.
It satisfied.
It did. It did satisfy us.
Yeah. But if I was on a plane, because that was the morbid example you gave,
mm-hmm.
and that was the last scene I saw, I think I'd be happy.
It's a 3-hour movie.
That's right. It meets that time requirement I was looking for.
Actually, I remember I bought it on DVD as a kid. It was one of the first DVDs I ever bought.
Me too.
And...
if you think about it, that's kind of a deep movie for teenagers or kids to like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I also, I loved being deep.
I know. Yeah.
So,
I did too.
Even though I wasn't,
flip of the hair.
Flip of the hair, right down the poetry.
That's right.
death existence. Yeah, it's just, and I remember the transfer was gorgeous. The DVD transfer was perfect. And I watched it until the very last second of the credits, and the ticker rolled around to 3 hours exactly.
Mm.
We're talking 2:59:59 to 3, and then boom, the DVD was done. It shut down. And I just, I remember that
tidbit.
You
love that part of it.
I love that it's exactly 3 minutes to 3 hours to the second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice.
Well, thank you.
I've been wanting to watch that again for years.
We haven't been forever. It's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
I love it.
And that speech... Anthony Hopkins gives about mm-hmm. love perfectly encapsulates what you should find in a mate.
You used to use some of those lines when we were dating.
Heck yes, I did.
And it worked, obviously.
Obviously, so. I put a ring on your finger.
That's right. It stuck, so.
Yeah, we would send each other quotes from that movie all the time. But everyone should really check out...
Or revisit it.
That speech. Yeah, watch the movie.
Yeah.
But check out that speech especially because... We feel there's so many times, not to get preachy, but there's so many times that you and I see other couples that don't have what we have. And it's not because we like the same things. It's not because we nerd out at the same things. That's just a bonus.
Yeah.
You know, that just helps. But there's so many times that we see people together who don't have passion
mm-hmm.
for each other. They don't have that discovery. They don't have that awe when that other person walks in the room. And the way that Anthony Hopkins describes it is just so perfect.
It's very poetic, yeah. And it's the way that you would want to feel about someone, and hopefully you do.
It's a father talking to his daughter about how he wants her to feel about her future mate. And it's so perfect because, if I have a daughter, if I have a son, it doesn't matter. If I have a child, I'm going to say this speech to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's important that they feel this way about their mate, not just we met in high school and then we just never stopped dating.
Right.
That's not a good reason to get married.
Yeah. No, it kind of brings me to, there's an assignment that I do during Romeo and Juliet when I teach it in school. And I have the kids go home and ask their parents, what do you want in my perfect mate, whether, whoever I end up with, what would you want with that person. And some of the parents get really into it and basically are like writing a love letter to their kid about how they want all these beautiful things for them. And I'm just like, sometimes I'm just like, please read this. Please just take this to heart. Put it away. Put it in a scrapbook. And then look at it later and make sure that you have all these awesome things. And also, I have them write down all the things that they want in a future, you know, mate. And, you know, you just don't want them to give up on that or settle or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, I wanted to talk about this earlier, and we talk a lot of, like, we make fun of a lot of, we don't like vulgar stuff. Like, we don't like stuff that's overly violent or overly sexual. But in this movie, there is a sex scene.
Yeah.
But I don't even like calling it a sex scene because
it's gorgeous.
It's a love scene. Yeah. And it is the most beautiful love scene that I've ever seen on film. And not to get graphic, but you see it from beginning to end. You see it start and you see it, you know, over.
But it's not vulgar.
It's not vulgar in the least. And it is so loving and intimate. And I remember watching it with my parents and not feeling embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I look over at my parents. I could have sworn I saw my dad wipe a tear from his eye because it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it just encapsulated what you need in a mate. Like what you need in a person that you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a huge part of that movie.
So, long story short, good choice.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. I'm excited to hear yours.
My, you know, like when you described epic, I didn't think Meet Joe Black because I don't know if I would describe Meet Joe Black as epic.
Well, I just feel like, you know, the music at the end is, you know, just overwhelming and you've got the fireworks in the background.
It's
you
very
know,
powerful.
It's a very powerful movie. Like I would be, you know, walking into the beautiful light with a tear in my eye.
So when I, like, this movie, I think, ends in a very epic way and has a very short denouement. And I like that it has a very short denouement because even, like, even though they didn't get what they came for, they still learned something and they were still like, okay, well, we didn't get it, but it's okay because we became closer on the journey. And we're going to literally ride off into the sunset. And that is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's your last movie?
That is my last movie.
Really?
I've thought about this for weeks.
Really?
That is my last movie.
That's hilarious. I would not have guessed that.
I love this movie. It's my favorite Indiana Jones film.
Yeah, me too.
How many times can you say that the third film is the best film?
That's true.
Out of a trilogy.
That's a really good point.
And very rarely can you say that. And Last Crusade is just, it has everything. It has action. It has sensuality. It has adventure. It has, you know, like
Sean Connery.
It has Sean Connery. It has
and
Harrison Ford together as like this buddy cop duo. And like they play a perfect father and son, even though they're only 12 years apart. And I love that quote from Harrison Ford where like Harrison Ford was interviewed by James Lipton and he goes over his career and then he finally got to Last Crusade and he said, he's like, Sean Connery played your father, but yet he's only 12 years older than you. Harrison Ford interjects and says, if you knew Sean, you would know he could do it.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like the dynamic between Sean Connery and Harrison Ford that movie.
Oh yeah.
That's the entire reason why the movie works.
Yeah.
And it's just pure candy.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's just, it's so great. But then, like, as you get towards the end, you start to have more drama and more suspense. And you're like, is, you know, Sean Connery going to make it? Is Harrison Ford going to be able to save his father? You know, like, and they're trying to find the Holy Grail.
I was going to say, like, yeah, and the way that they have to go through all the booby traps and stuff, that's fun.
Yeah, like, to this day, like, you know, like, if I'm, like, like just the other day, like the lights were off and I was trying not to wake you up and I didn't clean up and there was crap on the floor. And so I was like tiptoeing around and I was saying under my breath, like, the penitent man shall pass. And yeah, Jehovah spelled with an I. Yeah, Last Crusade. Because, you know, like they don't get the Holy Grail because you can't.
Right.
That's not the point.
Right.
It's about the journey. It's about getting there. It's about the relationships that you gain while trying to find God.
Right.
You know, that's the allegory. You can find God, but you can't capture him. You can't bring him home.
Put him in a box.
Put him in a box. Yeah. And then, but they discovered things about themselves and they discovered their newfound relationship. and they're all together, they're all friends, and they leave still happy that they went on this adventure, and they ride off into the sunset. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it's
just
awesome. So perfect. And so, like, I would be smiling and I hear that music. And I'd be happy. I'd die happy. I would die with a smile on my face.
Yeah. I'm surprised by your choice, but
why does that surprise you?
It's just so fun. Like, mm-hmm. I expected you to have something a little bit more melodramatic, like mine. But I think it's awesome. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. That's such a great one. That's definitely my favorite too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We need to go back and watch. Like, we just watched Lex Fouché not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back and watch Raiders and Temple of Doom.
Absolutely.
I don't care what people say about Temple of Doom. I like it. I know she's annoying, but I like it.
Yeah, I have to be on that side. She's pretty annoying.
All right, well, that's our show.
Yeah.
We would love to know what you guys think would be your last film. Like, what would you, if you had time to choose.
Not just what movie is your favorite movie.
Right, yeah.
That's not what we're asking. What that's would be the last film?
Yeah. The movie you want to go out on.
That's right.
You want to say, my life is over, and that's okay, because I'm watching this movie.
That's right. That's right.
So you can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com, or you can go to thenerdparty.com and click contact from there. You can find me at The Insane Robin, or you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/thenerdparty. And remember, when you're there, like the page. It's common courtesy, folks. One other thing that I want to talk to you about is lootcrate.com. It is a fantastic subscription service that we are partners with. It is a geek box that you can get every single month. It's a lot of fun, guys. It's you save some money by going to lootcrate.com/nerdparty and entering in the code nerdparty. You'll save some money off of your subscription. You will not be sorry, because it's a mystery box. And this month, if I do believe so, if my memory serves, this month's box is the future.
Cool.
And I'm super excited about this box. It's because it's going to get like Futurama, Star Wars, Star Trek, stuff like that.
Nice.
So I'm super excited about this box. But yeah, go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Enter in code nerdparty. You'll save some money and you'll help out the network. Oh, well, those are our movies.
That's right.
So, like, just to recap, I picked Last Crusade. You picked Meet Joe Black. And if we were together, we'd watch The Fountain.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, on that note, I love all those movies.
Yeah, me too.
And I love you.
I know.
Britain, when you run out of data, it hurts. So get on EE Pay As You Go. We're giving away free boosts of data for everyone. Every 3 months, you unlock a new level of data. First, we boost your data by 500 megabytes a month, then by a gig a month, then by a gig and a half, and it keeps going. So the longer you stay, the more data you'll have for Snapchatting. Search EE Free Boosts.
Choose a free boost after you buy pay-as-you-go packs for 3 months. Terms apply. See ee.co.uk/PAYG.